Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Vochim Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The sukkah that we will be commencing today's shiur with is found toward the upper part of daf lamed. You will notice 6 lines from the top. There's a 2 dots in the middle of the page. Tanan Hossam, and follows that a Tanaic source. As you can see, it's in a frame. In our marking system, we attempt to separate or distinguish between Tanaic literature that we put inside the frame and the rest of the Gemara. We also offer topic headings that you will find along the daf, along the side of the page, as each new sugya approaches. In this case, we have a nosei, a topic heading that you find in the outside margin. Behemas chulin shemenes lifnei shnei behemos echad oyla vechad shlomim. We have a common animal, a non-sanctified animal, a chulin animal, and next to it are standing 2 animals that have been dedicated as sacrifices. One as an olah sacrifice, that is a sacrifice that is completely consumed on the altar of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, and a Shlomim sacrifice, which is a sacrifice other than its innards. The meat is eaten by the Kohanim and the owners. The Omar, and the owner said, the owner of this Chulin animal said, Hare Zu Tamuras Oila Tamuras Shlomim. Tamura is an action of attempting to replicate the sanctity that exists on sanctified animals, and have that sanctity settle upon the currently unsanctified animal, the chulin animal. The process or the institution of tumura is something that the Torah itself warns against doing. However, it's one of those things that if a person does it, if a person makes this declaration, it takes hold. In this case, he attempted to replicate 2 different sanctities on 1 animal. Machlikis Rabbi Meir for Rabbi Yossi. We will see a controversy between these 2 Tanoim. The Rabbi Meir, Tfos Loshen Rishon. According to Rabbi Meir, it appears that you accept or understand as binding the first expression. So in the example we just had, where a person said, Harezu Tmuras Ola Tmuras Shlomim, it will become an Ola. This chulin animal will become an Ola. According to Rabbi Yossi, Hadavar Tolui B'Birur. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's not an automatic choose the first expression that he said. Rather, it has to be looked into and investigated, as we will see in the Gemara. The approach that we're taking right now, that Rabbi Meir holds, Tfos Loshon Rishon, this is something that itself will be the subject of a discussion later in the Gemara. We will see at the lower part of the page, Rav Dimi maintaining 4 lines from the bottom, that Rabbi Meir in Tamura holds like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. And we saw in our Mishnah a case where a person was processing a korban, and at the first stage of his processing, he says that he shechs the korban with the intention of eating the meat outside the right time. And then he does a subsequent stage of processing the korban, according to Rabbi Yehuda, with the intention of doing the Zrikas Hadam at the outside of the Beis HaMikdash, in the wrong place. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we say that since he mentioned time, the incorrect time first, that is what takes effect. According to the Rabbanan in the Mishnah, they held that there was something called Eruv Machshavos, and that the fact that he had a different mindset at a subsequent stage of the processing of the korban, that neutralizes the initial thoughts that he had regarding incorrect time. These are all ideas that have been discussed in previous shiurim, but so we are not going to dwell on that right now. Suffice it to say that we just mentioned that in the case of Tamura, where Rabbi Meir says, using the example of Tamura Sola, Tamura Shlomim, that it becomes an Ola, Rav Dimi parallels Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yehuda that we just mentioned from our Mishnah, indicating Tfos Loshen Rishon. We will see Abaye on Lamed Omid Beis, in other words, on Omid Beis of this daf, who disagrees with Rav Dimi's approach, who maintains that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, even though they're presented as disagreeing, their point of disagreement is actually very limited, and that will be the subject of the Gemara at the top of Omid Beis. So in the meantime, till we get to the lower part of the page, we will be focusing on this issue of Tamura and different thoughts or expressed mindsets. How do we deal with them? Let's now turn to the Gemara. Tanan Hossam. The Tanaic source says, Hare zu Tamuras Ola Tamuras Shlomim. As we mentioned in our introduction, there was a chulin, a non-sanctified animal, standing in the presence of these two korbanos, and the speaker, the owner of the chulin animal, attempts to replicate the kedusha of the animals standing next to him, the sanctified animals, replicate that kedusha onto the chulin animal. The result of his saying these two things, Ola and Shlomim, Harezu Tmuras Ola, Divrei Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, only the first comment takes effect. Om Rabbi Yossi, Im Lekach Niskavin Tchila, if his intention was for both sanctities to settle upon the chulin animal, Hoyovi Evshala Hoitzi Shtei Shemos Ka'achas, since it's impossible for a human being to say two things at once, Dvarav Kayomen, so the two sanctities will settle upon this one chulin animal. Practically speaking, how do you have two different identities settle upon one animal? So what happens then, if according to Rabbi Yossi, is the animal will eventually be redeemed. It will be set out to graze until it develops a blemish, a mum. And then it's sold, and the money that you get for the redemption of this animal will be used to buy an ola and a shlomim. Continuing in the source, ve'im misha omar harezu ola nimlach v'omar harezu tumra shlomim. If after he expressed the intention of replicating the ola sanctity, he then had a change of mind and decided he wants it to be a shlomim, harezu ola, then it remains what he said initially. In other words, even Rabbi Yossi acknowledges that in the event of a change of mind, the original identity sticks. Ibayalaho, harezu tumuras oila ushlomim. Mahu. That's one question. Notice, in this question, he doesn't say the word tamura a second time. And the example we had in the source, we saw a distinction or a distinguishing between the two tamuras. He mentioned tamuras ola and then tamuras shlomim. Here, using one expression tamura, he links together the two identities. What is the din under these circumstances? Another question. Lachtsois mahu. Lachsos means halves. Let's take a look at Rashi and see how he presents these two questions. In the upper part of the narrow lines, Rashi, Hochi Garsinon, Ibaya Laho, Harezu Tmuras Oilo Ushlomim Ahu, Mi Amrinon, do we say, Ha de Polig Rebbe Meir, Viamat Vos Loshen Rishon, Mishum de Omar, Tmuras Tmuras, Trezimni? Is it so that maybe that which Rabbi Meir said, take the first expression, Tfos Loshen Rishon, is that because he used the word Tmura twice, Vahave Le Kenimlach, and it's as if he was changing his mind after he said the first thing, he had a change of mind. And as a result of that, we say, you cannot change your mind. And that which you said first sticks. Aval Hocha, Diomar Tmuras Oilo Ushlamim. Here, since he didn't double the expression tamura, we don't have any indication of a possible change of mind in the middle. Chad diburahu, it's a singular statement for Travayu Haili. And as a result of that, both Kedushas would be Chal. In other words, even according to Rabbi Meir, both Kedushas would be Chal, would take hold. Oy Dilmot, Fos Loshin Rishon Li Oylam. Or it could be that Rabbi Meir holds that you always accept the first expression, Uposhta Kedushas Ola Bekula Vesulo Osu Shlomo Vechayli. And as a result of the Ola sanctity taking hold, it's viewed as if the sanctity of the Ola spreads throughout the whole body of this previously chulin animal, and there is no room any longer for the shlomim sanctity to take hold. That's one question. That was the first question, with the two sides presented in Rashi. Now, the second question, lachtsos mahu, let us say the person used that expression, imtim salomar, if you say in the regarding the first question, and you take a side and you say poshta kedushas oyla bakula, that in the case where he says tmuras oyla ushlamim, that even though he didn't double the word tmura, nevertheless we still say tfos loshen rishon, and the ola sanctity spreads throughout the whole animal. What about omar hare behema zu lach tsois la oyla ushlamim? I want this behema, this chulin animal, to be half ola and shlamim. My, what do we say about this? And once again, Rashi presents the two sides of the question. Hai chad diburahu. This is, in fact, possibly one expression. The ein zeh chal b'lo zeh. And one of the identities will not take hold without the other. Hoidilmo kevon de poshta bepalga poshta bekula. V'lo asu shlomim v'chayli. Or do you say that since the ola identity was placed upon half of the animal, once it's placed on half, it automatically spreads throughout the rest of the animal, and there would be no room for the shlomim identity to take hold. So these two questions are raised. Omar Abaye, Abaye responds, he says, Baha vadai moide Rabbi Meir. In this case, Rabbi Meir would certainly concede that both Kedushas are Chal, concede to the position Rabbi Yossi took in the case of Tmuras Ola, Tmuras Shlomim. Rabbi Meir, in these cases, would concede that both Kedushas are Chal. And we explained before what the practical meaning of that was. Rava Omar Adayin Hi Machlokes. Rava says that, just like Rabbi Meir was not willing to have both Kedushas Chal in the case of Tmura Soa, Tmura Shlomim, likewise over here Rabbi Meir will say that the first Kedusha is Chal alone, the first one takes hold. Omale Rav Abaye Liditcha the Amris Beha Vadai Moida Rabbi Meir, according to you that said in the case of Lachtsois Rabbi Meir would certainly concede that both Kedushas are Chal. So in the case of Lachsos, according to you, there is no Machlokis, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Hare Shchita, the case of slaughtering an animal, where we saw in our Mishnah, a person slaughters an animal to eat a kezias of the korban meat the next day, and a kezias in the wrong place. This idea of two mindsets, one regarding time and one regarding place. Rashi, the Gemara says, "Delechi lachzos domi." It's like the case of lachzos, where he said, half the animal will be ola and half shlomim. Once again, two mindsets. So, the case of shchita is similar to the case of lachzois. Let's read that again. Hare shchita delechi lachzois domi upligi. We saw in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, who the Gemara later on associates Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yehuda. So where you see Rabbi Yehuda's name, you can substitute Rebbe Meir's name, if you will. And we see that in the case of Shechita, as featured in the Mishnah, there was a machlokes between Rebbe Yehuda and the Chachamim. And it, in other words, it's Rebbe Yehuda who, as we say, is interchangeable with Rebbe Meir, is not going to concede, like you, Abaye, said, that here he would definitely be Modeh. What's the case of the Shechita, once again, according to Rebbe Yehuda, where he shechted with an intention of eating a kezias of meat the next day and a kezias of meat outside? Rebbe Yehuda insisted that you tfos loshen rishon, and it will be pigul. This is, of course, we're using information we learned in our previous year, and with that there would be a chiyuv koris. And Rebbe Yehuda does not say eruv machshavos in that case, that there is a mixing of identities, which would have been parallel to here, where we would have said in the case of tmur or both kedushas or chal. No, in the case of the shechita, we saw you take the first, the first mindset or first thought takes hold. Omar Lay, being that the question was raised on Abaye, Rava asked on Abaye, Abaye responds. Before we go further, we should note, we have triangles that we just encountered. These are explained on the in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading. But even before we read the Mivneh heading, let's just glance at the Nosei, Hemshech. We have a topic, in a continuation of the topic before, we feature here, Omar Hare Behemazu Lachtsois Le'oilo Shlomim. Mali Omar Rabbi Meir. This was the question we saw above. If a person says Lachtsos Le'oilo Shlomim, what would Rabbi Meir say? Well, Abaye said, "Baha Moide Rabbi Meir L'Rabbi Yosi D'Shnei Kedushas Chalos," that both mindsets or both identities take hold. Rava says, "Adayin hi machlokes." Rabbi Meir sover tvois loshon rishon. According to Rava, it remains a machlokes, and you take the first thought. The first thought takes hold. We are now at a position in the Gemara where we have a triangle, and this is explained under the Mivneh, Kushyos Shel Rava Al Abaye. Rava is raising questions on Abaye, as you can see, as you go down this Omid, you see a few more triangles. The first triangle, we already explained, the question concerning the Mishnah, which presented Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, whom we are paralleling with Rebbe Meir, and we see that in the case of Shechita, we are saying Tfos Loshen Rishon. And being that Rebbe Yehuda says that, Rebbe Meir would also say that. So that the case of Shechita being parallel to the case of Lachzos, it doesn't seem like Abaye said that in the case of Lachzos, Rebbe Meir would concede that both the thoughts or mindsets take hold. Omar Lay. So we go that back. We're turning back to the Gemara, and Abaye responds, "Mi safris eino l'shchita elo l'besof." Who is to say that shchita is determined only by the end of the action of slaughtering? Yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'atzof. Shchita is a process that isn't determined by the very last moment of knife movement, but rather it is established at every step of the way. As the knife is moving across the simonim, the two simonim of the animal, the two simonim are the trachea and the esophagus, as they are, as the knife is cutting, there the process of shchita is taking place. The halachic or the legal status of shechita is taking place. U'mishnosenu, and the case of the Mishnah is the Omar. He declared simon rishon chutz lizmano, that as he was cutting the first tube of the animal's neck, two are required to be cut. As he was cutting the first one, he made a declaration regarding eating the meat at the wrong time. Simon Sheni, and the second tube is cut with a different mindset, chutz limakoymoy. This idea sets Shechita apart from the case of Lachzos. In other words, shechita, being that it's a, we'll call it for convenience sake, a long process, it starts from the beginning of the cutting and lasts till the end, it has its own two parts to it, two separate parts, if you will. That's not what we would call dibur echad. It's not one statement in which there would be room for saying that Rabbi Meir would concede that since there are two thoughts contained in one statement, both would take hold. In the case of Shechita, Simen Rishon, the first tube, stands apart from the second tube, and therefore it's not parallel to the case of Lachzos. And therefore, Abaye explains, in the Shechita being that there are two separate tubes, there are two separate diburim, two separate comments, if you will. And as a result of that, he will say, Tfos Loshen Rishon. However, in a case where the expressed thought is contained in one statement, like we saw above, Lachz Harei Behemazu, we said, Lachzois Lo'ilo Shlomo, that's considered one statement. So there, both ideas will take hold together or simultaneously. Continuing, Harei Kemitza, Delechi Lachzos Domi, Upligi. The Gemara here is drawing on a Gemara in the first parak of Maseches Menachos, whereby a person takes a handful of a meal offering, and while he takes the handful of the meal offering, he has the intention of eating a kezias of the shirayim, of the portion of the meal offering that remains after the handful is taken, which is eaten by the kohanim. So he is taking, the kohen takes the handful, the kemitza, with the intention of eating a kezias at the wrong time, and a second kezias, another kezias of the shirayim, in the wrong place. Now, the taking of the handful is a singular action. It's not like shechita, where there were two tubes that had to be cut. It's one handful that's taken of the meal offering, which eventually is placed on the mizbeach and burnt there. The kemitza, therefore, would appear to be parallel to the case of lachzos, and even so, Rabbi Yehuda says that if he said kezayis of shirayim lemochar, and then kezayis shirayim the wrong place, the mincha becomes pigal based on the fact that tfos loshen rishon, and the first thing he said was wrong time, was an issue of eating the shirayim after the official time lapses for the consumption of the mincha offering. So once again, we see Rabbi Yehuda maintaining his ground and not conceding to the Chachomim that both machshavas would be chal and there would be an eruv machshavas and hence a cancellation of the pigal status. No, Rabbi Yehuda is saying we take the first tfos loshen rishon. So why do you, Abaye, say that in a case of lachzos, Rabbi Meir, who is interchangeable with Rabbi Yehuda as far as our sugya is concerned, that Rabbi Meir would concede? We see that that opinion doesn't concede in the case of the kemitza. The Gemara answers, Hosam Nami, in the case of the mincha as well, there really are two stages. And when he says Hosam Nami, we can say in parallel to the shechita example before, where there were two tubes, what happens in the case of the mincha? Shehikdir koimetz mincha chutz lizmano, and the kurt lavona chutz limakomo. A mincha, generally speaking, and we emphasize generally speaking, has two elements that are placed on the mizbeach. What the Gemara is explaining now is not like we explained earlier, not like we thought earlier. The position of Rabbi Yehuda in the case of kezayis lemochar and kezayis lechutz is not talking about the actual taking of the handful, but rather his position was stated regarding the elements of the mincha that are burned on the fire of the altar. And as far as the burning of the mincha on the altar, there is the meal part, which is in the handful, which is contained in the handful that he took in the kemitza, and there is also the lavona, which is a type of incense that accompanies a mincha. So in that case, where he was maktir the koimetz of the meal offering, with the mindset of kezayis chutzlizmano, and then he offered the lavona with a machshav of chutzlimakomo, that is not like the case of lachzos, but rather it's a function of two separate diburim, if you will, and hence in that case there isn't a merging, but rather tfos lashon rishon, you choose the first one according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara asks, Hare koimetz de minchas chote de leko levona bahade upligi. The Gemara thinks that even in the case of a sin meal offering, a sinner's meal offering, it's a minchas chote, when a sinner brings a meal offering, without getting into details of which kind of sinners bring meal offerings, but when that arises, there is no levona. There is no incense offered along with it, and the Gemara thinks that there still is a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and we said Rabbi Yehuda is interchangeable with Rabbi Meir. And if that be the case, so the koimetz of minchas chote is parallel to the case of lachzos. It would be a singular dibor with two thoughts expressed, and Rabbi Yehuda would still be maintaining that you take the first thought and that sticks. The Gemara says lo pligi. No, Abaye would answer that in the case of a kaimetz of minchas chote, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it is not going to be pigal, because it's in one dibor. It's two thoughts expressed in one action or in one dibor, and hence they merge or they mix with one another, and the chutz limkomo idea will neutralize the chutz lizmano that was expressed, even though it may have been expressed first. Omar Rav Ashi, im timtze lomar pligi, if you want to insist that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim will argue in the case of a koimetz de minchas chote, where Rabbi Yehuda will say that in the event that he expresses both ideas of chutz lizmano and chutz lemkomo, and it will become pigol, pligi bepsios, the machlokus will arise in the case of his carrying the koimetz, the handful, which we call the hoilocha, each step that he takes would be considered a separate dibor, a separate statement, if you will, so that the steps that he takes while carrying the handful of the meal offering to the mizbeach, during the first step he has a mindset of eating the shirayim, a kezayis of shirayim lebachar, and the second step he has in mind the eating of a kezayis of shirayim bachutz. Enochinami, in that case, Rabbi Yehuda will maintain take tfos loshen rishon, because the steps, each step represents a separate dibor, if you will, and once again, that's not parallel to the case of lachzos, where in one statement he expresses two ideas. Each step he's taking in the case of the mincha would represent not one statement, but rather two separate statements. As we go on in the Gemara, we will see two shitos right now. Rav Simi Bar Ashi Masni ke de Abaye. Rav Simi Bar Ashi learns or teaches like Abaye taught, that in the case of lachzois, going back to the case of Tmura, where a person said Harebe Mazu lachzois la'olu lushlamim, Rabbi Meir would concede to the Rabbanan that we don't say tfos loshon rishon, but rather both kedushas would be chal. Rav Huna Bar Noson Masni Kidrova, and Rav Huna Bar Noson takes the position of Rava that in Lachzos as well, Rebbe Meir will argue and hold Tfos Loshon Rishon. And once again, if he said Harebe Mazu Lachzos La'olo L'Shlamim, it will be an Ola since he mentioned it first. Ki Osa Rav Dimi Omar. We have a new geometric form which draws our attention to the margin. You see a nosei mivne heading. We have this trapezoid form which we often call the volcano shape. and we've in parentheses indicated ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of the discussion of the Gemara. With the point where the narrow part of the volcano facing upwards, this will represent Rav Dimi. We will see on Amud Beis, it flips over, and that will represent Abaye. Lefi Rav Dimi, we noted, Rabbi Meir de Tamura, Rabbi Meir that we saw in the case of Tamura, which was featured in our Tanaic source in the upper part of the page, where you can also see Rabbi Meir's name underlined. Rabbi Meir in Tamura, who mentioned that in the case where someone says Tumuras Olah Tumuras Shlomim, the first expression is that which is binding. So Rav Dimi tells us that Rabbi Meir in Tumuras Sover K'Rabbi Yehuda de Mishnah Seino. He holds like Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah, the Mishnah that we saw in Chof Tesum at Beis, the Tfos Loshon Rishon, where if a person said Kezayas Lamochar and then Kezayas Bachutz, the fact that he mentioned Lamochar first, which is an issue of wrong time, that will create a Pigul situation and will carry with it a Kores penalty. And the fact that he mentioned afterwards Chutz Lamochayim, Chutz Lamchamu, wrong place, that does not neutralize the first or original Pigul status. Lefi Abaye, Rabbi Meir de Tamura, Rabbi Meir that we saw in Tamura, Eino K'Rabbi Yehuda. He doesn't lock in or parallel Rabbi Yehuda necessarily that says Tfos Loshon Rishon. That may be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Tfos Loshon Rishon. But Rabbi Meir in Tamura, he may have said that in a case where someone says Harezu Tumuras Ola Tumuras Shlomim, it becomes an Ola, but not because he mentioned Ola first, but for another reason, which will be revealed later in the Gemara. Turning to the Gemara after exposing ourselves to that introduction, Ki also Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi came, he announced or he declared Rabbi Meir in Tamura, Beshitas Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir of Tamura accepts the opinion or the way of thinking of Rabbi Yehuda. Let's read that again. Rabbi Meir, Beshitas Rabbi Yehuda, Omra. The Omar, Rabbi Yehuda said, Tfos Loshon Rishon. Disnan, and now we quote from our Mishnah, Rabbi Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Zeha Klal, Im Machsheves Hazman Kodma Es Machsheves Hamokom, if the thought concerning wrong time precedes the thought concerning wrong place, Pigul V'Chayovin Alav Kores. It's labeled, it's locked into the first status, or the first identity that was expressed, the first in this case, identity would be more appropriate for Tamura, but the first intention that was expressed, namely, wrong time. And that creates a chiyuv kores. Omar le Abaye. Abaye addresses Rav Dimi and says, V'ho Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chano Omar Rav Yochanan Ki Magis Lehu Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda V'hadi Hadodi Loi Pligi. When you draw near the two shitas, one unto the other, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. In other words, when you analyze them and attempt to compare them and attempt to reduce the amount of to reduce the scope of their controversy, you will find that, and now we have to just use a literal translation, you will find that they do not argue. Now, if we say that, it's important to emphasize that once you know that Rabbi Yossi definitely does not hold from Tfos Loshon Rishon, that we saw in the source on Omer Aleph, and you tell me that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yossi, then you're in effect saying that Rabbi Meir is not going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara asks on what we just said, that when you compare Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, you will discover that they do not argue. The Gemara asks, notice the shape flipped over. This presents a question on Abaye. V'lo pligi v'al miflag pligi. What do you mean they don't argue? We read a source in which they do argue, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi.
Omar le, pligi b'may de pligi. This is the beginning of a very long statement of Abaye, and we indicate the length with a length marker. You'll notice Abaye's name appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text in the space between the Gemara and the Rashi. We've written in Abaye's name with an inverted volcano around his name, and a long dashed vertical line indicating that all the lines of the Gemara till the end of that marker are part of Abaye's presentation. At this point, Abaye is taking the position that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi may be arguing, but on a very specific point or specific case, but they don't have a fundamental machlokas like holding where Rabbi Meir would hold Tvos Lashon Rishon or Rabbi Yossi would disagree. That's not the case, according to Abaye. This, of course, is all presented as Abaye's position against Rav Dimi. Notice, if we skip all of the lines that are part of the Abaye statement, you notice where the volcano straightens out again with the narrow part facing upwards. There it says, Omar Le. Omar Le is Rav Dimi, says back to Abaye after he finishes his speech. Rav Dimi says, Who, Omar Lo Pligi? Rabbo Babachana, that you are citing, holds that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi do not argue. V'ano amino pligi, but I hold that Rabbi Meir's shita is based on Rabbi Yehuda, and hence Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi are parties to a significant controversy, as opposed to a machlokis regarding a detail. So you can see through the markings how the Gemara has this cadence to it, or this back and forth structure, where Abaye makes his point, we ask on that, Abaye responds, and eventually Rav Dimi responds to that. At this point, we turn back to the point that we're holding in the Gemara, fourth line from the top. Abaye explains, or we'll say reduces, the scope of Machlokis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi in Temura. Omar Le, reading again, Pligi b'may de pligi, v'lo pligi b'may de lo pligi. They argue in that which they argue, and they don't argue in that which they agree. And the Gemara will explain that. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Hakol modim, we've dashed underlined the expression hakol modim so that you can contrast this with another dashed underlined expression, ki pligi. At this point, we show that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi do not disagree, in other words, they agree with one another concerning the next two examples that will be noted with an aleph and a beis. Where is there a machlokas? That will be featured under the heading of Ki Pligi, which we've dashed underline a few lines later. But after all said and done, it's important to remember that all of this presentation is designed to make the point that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold as some type of blanket rule, Tfos Loshan Rishon, that the first expression sticks. That's not the case. Now, back into the Gemara. Hakol moidim, aleph, hecho di omar, where the speaker of the owner of the chulin animal standing next to those two korbonas, the ola and the shlomim, hecho di omar, tochul zu, fi achar kach tochul zu, I want first the ola sanctity to take hold, and then afterwards I want the shlomim sanctity to take hold. Divrei hakol lo chayla. Everyone will agree that the second sanctity does not take hold by virtue of a rule that ein kedusha chalal al kedusha, that once something is sanctified, you cannot add another layer of sanctity onto that which is already sanctified. Another case, beis. Let's say the speaker said, lo tochul zu elo im kein cholo zu, that I don't want the ola sanctity to take hold unless the shlomim sanctity is able to take hold. Then divrei hakol chaylo, everyone will agree that both sanctities are chal, will take hold. Since he wanted both to take hold, we then say, like we said earlier in this shiur, that the animal will then be sent out to graze until it develops a blemish, and the money that you will get will be used, half of which to buy an ola and half to buy a shlomit. Kipli, under what circumstances is there a machlokis, a controversy between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi? The Omar, where the speaker said, the owner of the animal said, Tmuras oilo tmuras shlomim. This is the very case or example that was featured in the Tanaic source. What happens in this case? Rabbi Meir Sovar. We've underlined Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi a few lines later. Rabbi Meir Sovar, Midahave le lemeimar tmuras oilo ushlomim. If he was really interested in both sanctities taking hold, he should have said Tmuras Olo Shlomim, using the word Tmura once. And yet he didn't say that, the Omar, and rather he said Tmuras Olo Tmuras Shlomim. We've dashed underlined the second Tmura word, indicating that this is the extra expression the speaker used. What does this reveal about his mindset? Shma mino mehader kohodar bay. It seems that he was backing out. In other words, he first said Ola, and then he had a change of mind, and he wanted it to become a shlomim. However, the rule is that you cannot back out, and that's why it becomes an Ola. Once again, not because tfos loshen rishon, but simply because you can't change your mind. The Gemara will now explain Rabbi Yossi's position. We saw that in a case that he says Tmuras Ola Tmur Shlomim, Rabbi Yossi said both Kedushas are Chal. Rabbi Yossi will tell us that this man was not exhibiting a change of mind. He wasn't trying to back out. Rabbi Yossi, he figured, I don't want to say Tmuras Ola Ushlomim, because that might lead to something that I don't want. And that's why he didn't use the expression Tmuras Ola Ushlomim. Rabbi Yossi, E Omar Tmuras Ola Ushlomim. The speaker figures, if I would have said that, Have Amino, Palga Tmuras Ola, Upalga Tmuras Shlomim, that the animal would become half Ola and half shlomim. And as such, it would become sanctified, but it would not be able to be offered, because you can't offer something that is in halves. Lahachi Omar Tmuras Ola Tmuras Shlomim Lemeimra Dekula Oila Vekula Shlomim Havya. He chose the expression tmurasola, using the word tmura a second time, to convey his desire that the animal should be of a complete ola and complete shlomen sanctity. And as a result of that, he had full intention for both sanctities to take hold. Let's take a look at Rashi on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, Omar Loch, Hai Gavra, the person who said Tmuras Ola Tmuras Shlomim Lo Mehader Kohodar, he wasn't trying to change his mind, Elo Lekach Niskavim, but rather this is what he intended. V'Sovar, and he figured, I Amino Tmuras Ola Shlomim, if I say it that way, Mishtama Palgulu Palgul Shlomim Kedusha V'Yena Kreva, that it would be half Ola and half Shlomim, which would give it a type of sanctity that would prevent it from being offered as a sacrifice. The E'efshir l'hakriv l'chatzoyin, because it's impossible to offer something in halves. Therefore, Emo, I will say, Tmuras Ola, Tmuras Shlomim, Ki hechi de tifshot kedushas Ola b'kulo kedushas Shlomim b'kulo, so that the Kedushas, the Ola sanctity, should spread throughout the whole animal, and the Shlomim sanctity should spread out throughout the whole animal. V'toi, Desavar hashta kreva. He made a mistake, though, and he thinking that, well, by saying it this way, it can now be offered. We know that it can't. And rather, it's sent out to graze, and we use the money fetched from its redemption for the purchase of those two korbanos. Nevertheless, this man intended for both sanctities to take hold. Therefore, his intention does take hold, and the animal will be sold, and the money used to buy those two separate korbanos. From all that we have seen till now, under Abaye's presentation, Abaye, of course, was relying on that which Rabba Bar Chana said at the top of the page. So from all of this, we see that in the case of Tmuras Oila Ushlamim, which would be a situation where both sanctities are said in one statement, there would be no machlokes between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi. And that case of Tmuras Ola Ushlamim, as we just mentioned under Abaye, they Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi would not argue. What did Rav Dimi say about something like that? Rav Dimi would say that under all circumstances, Rebbe Meir holds Tfos Loshon Rishon. We might want to just emphasize a point that should have been mentioned earlier, that according to Abaye, Rebbe Meir of Tmura would not hold like Rebbe Yehuda of the Mishnah in the case of Shechita. And that's why we're emphasizing right now that after all said and done, in the case of Tmuras Ola Ushlamim, which would be similar to the case of Shechita of the Mishnah, and yet Rebbe Meir doesn't argue with Rebbe Yossi in such a case, and hence he, Rebbe Meir, does not hold like Rebbe Yehuda. As we mentioned earlier, Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda are in direct opposition to one another in terms of Tfos Loshon Rishon, and suggesting that Rebbe Meir holds like Rebbe Yossi is in effect saying that Rebbe Meir does not hold like Rebbe Yehuda. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Le, Rav Dimi says back to Abaye, who Omar Lo Pligi? Rabba Bar Bar Chana says that Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi don't have a fundamental machlokis regarding Tfos Loshon Rishon. The Ano Amino Pliki, and I hold that they would argue, and that Rebbe Meir will hold like Rebbe Yehuda of the Mishnah. We have a slash mark in the Gemara indicating that that which follows is a new idea, a new thought process as far as the Gemara is concerned. Before we continue with the Gemara, let's glance at the side under our No Say heading. Biur Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. We're going to try to clarify Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, the Tfos Loshon Rishon, that you accept as binding the first expression when confronted with multiple expressions. Ha Dikotoni Kezayas Lemochar Kezayas Bachutz. That which the Mishnah teaches, where a person mentioned that he's slaughtering the animal with the intention of eating a kezayis of meat after the right time, you know, that's shalom bizmano, and a kezayis of meat, a second kezayis of meat in an incorrect location. What exactly is the text? Ha'im gorsin, should we be gores? U kezayis bachutz, namely, he says kezayis lemochar
Ukezayas bachutz the vav, denechshav prota, that even though there is a vav, which would seem to link it together to the first expression, namely kezayas b'mochar, nevertheless, they are still considered two separate statements. And if that be the case, that kezayas l'mochar u kezayas bachutz are considered prota, the kol shekain, if he would not use a vav and say kezayas bachutz, namely he would say kezayas l'mochar, kezayas bachutz, without the vav. Oy dilma, kezayas bachutz have a prota, or it might be that this idea of separate expressions, under which, of course, Rabbi Yehuda says, take the first one, when you have separate, distinct diburim or expressions, there Rabbi Yehuda says you choose the first, and it is the one that sticks. Aval, u kezayas bachutz, however, it might be that if a vav is used, then even Rabbi Yehuda would concede that it's have iruv machshavas, it's a merging of two thoughts into one statement. In a case of eruv machshavas, where two thoughts are merged in one statement, even Rabbi Yehuda would say you have to reckon with both thoughts that are expressed. And under such circumstances, you wouldn't say tfos loshon rishon. And as we've alluded to in today's shiur, but emphasized in the previous shiur, when you're dealing with chutz lizmano and chutz lemakomo, one has to always remember that chutz lizmano presents the possibility of a chiyuv kores, of a punishment of kores setting in, as opposed to the case of chutz lemakomo, which does not carry with it a chiyuv, a kores penalty. Turning to the Gemara, we have a section of Gemara that's part of a long question. We indicate the length with a long question marking. You see a shin that is circled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. The shin is a she'elah question with lasting all of the lines of Gemara that are parallel or opposite this vertical dashed line. The question is going to be presented in an Aleph Oy Dilma Beis fashion, two sides of the question. And we often, in presenting the two sides, label the two sides with Aleph and then Beis. The O Dilma, or possibly, is oftentimes in our markings, we try to be consistent in squiggle underlining that expression. So you can glance at the Gemara and see quickly the two sides of the question. Omar Ula, the Itema, other version has it, of Oshaya speaking, Efshir Yadin Chavrin Bavlo, is there a possibility that one of our Babylonian colleagues knows the following, Kezayas Kezayas Tanan, Oy Kezayas U Kezayas Tanan, with regard to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda said Tfos Loshon Rishon, which is an idea of his, that when you have two separate statements, one following the other, the first statement is that which is binding. Under what circumstances did he say his halacha? Did he say it in the case of someone saying kezayas? This is a little abbreviated in the Gemara, but it would be where he said that he is shechting in order to eat kezayas lemocher, kezayas bachutz, or did he say his halacha of Tfos Lishon Rishon, where he says Kezayas Lamocher U Kezayas Bachutz? And if that be the case, we would say, and certainly in the case of Kezayas Lamocher Kezayas Bachutz without the vav, because that would lacking the vav makes the two statements even more separate in nature. Let's read that line again. It's Efshir Yadin Chavrin Bavlo Kezayas Kezayas Tanan Oy Kezayas U Kezayas Tanan. Here the Gemara elaborates on what we just said. Kezayas Kezayas Tanan, is it under those circumstances that Rabbi Yehuda stated Tvos Loshon Rishon, because you had that represents two separate statements and he says choose the first statement. Avol Kezayas U Kezayas, if a vav is used regarding the second Kezayas, Divrei Hakol, everyone would agree, even Rabbi Yehuda, Eruv Machshavas Havei. That's considered a mixing of intentions into one statement. And where you have a mixing of intentions in one statement, then even Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't tfos Lashon Rishon. Oy Dilma, it could be, or possibly, Rabbi Yehuda said his din of tfos Lashon Rishon, in the case of Kezias u Kezias Tanan, Dila Rabbi Yehuda Prota Havi, that even though the Vav, which is generally speaking a joining letter, even though there is a Vav attached to the second Kezias expression, they nevertheless are viewed as two separate statements, and as such, Rabbi Yehuda's din kicks in of Tfos Lashon Rishon, V'kol Shekein Kezias Kezias, and all the more so if he said it in that fashion, Kezias Bachutz, Kezias Lemocher, Kezias Bachutz, that's even more Mifurat, it's more of more separate in nature. So the question has been raised, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, when he says Tfos Lashon Rishon, namely, Tfos Lashon Rishon being an outcome of two separate statements. What is meant by two separate statements? What is the appropriate example of two separate statements? Is it the case of Kezias alone, or is it possibly Kezias u Kezias? And if that's considered proto. Proto is an expression meaning separateness, individual statements, then all the more so if he left out the Vav. We have a little list on the inside margin, which may be of some help. There's an asterisk. You can see there's a double asterisk, a little list. And at that point, we've written in Dirug, a listing, In order, Hamaschil Mehachi Mefurat. This list starts from the most isolated of statements to the direction of less isolation and more in terms of the direction of two ideas mixed together. So number one, in terms of the most isolated, would be where no vav is used. He says Kezias Lamochar, Kezias Bachutz, a less isolated type situation would be where he says Kezias U Kezias, namely Kezias Lamochar U Kezias Bachutz, and the least of isolation of isolated statements would be a case where he says Kezias Mochar Bachutz. There you have a statement that is. If any statement is going to be considered a mixing of ideas in one statement, it would be this case, the number three situation. So, simply said, Kezias Kezias is considered the most likely to be viewed as separate statements, and hence, the most likely for Rabbi Yehuda to say his din of Tfos Lashon Rishon. And case three would be the least likely to be viewed as separate statements, where he says Kezias Mochar Bachutz, where in one statement he fuses the two examples together, namely the wrong time and wrong place. The question has been raised: what exactly were the circumstances of Rabbi Yehuda's din in the Mishnah? Was it Kezias Kezias, or was it even the case of Kezias u Kezias? Toshma, the Gemara proceeds to answer. We might want to note that this Toshma is a very long marking, and it continues till the second line from the top of Daf Lamed Aleph. Within this long piece of Gemara, one should take into account there's a great deal of give and take. In effect, what we are going to be seeing in this story, or in the storyline of the Gemara, is we're going to try to come to a conclusion regarding Shitas Rabbi Yehuda from the way Rebbe responded to a question that was once posed to him
by Levi. Levi, a student of Rebbe, once posed a question on this very topic to Rebbe. And Rebbe responds the way, however he responds, as we will see in the Gemara. And Rebbe's son, who was also a student of his, interjects and asks, why is it that Rebbe, in responding to Levi's question, why is it that Rebbe offered to compliment him? Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, as we said, he interjects and says, the issue is in fact a Mishnah. It's black and white. In other words, his question could conceivably be resolved very simply by learning a Mishnah and drawing the obvious inference from the Mishnah. And that type of information that can be gleaned from an inference drawn from a Mishnah is viewed as rather simplistic. And there should be no need to compliment someone who raises a question whose answer is so easily accessed. To that, Rebbe will respond to his son, Rebbe Shimon, and say, to you, it seems simple, because when I taught you this sugi, when I taught you this topic, I filled in more details than that which I taught Levi. Levi, coming to this discussion with less prior information, he had good reason for raising his question. As we go into the Gemara, we will fill in, of course, all the details to that, but it was of some importance before learning the Gemara inside to be aware of the basic storyline and before we get into the details. So, turning to the Gemara, Toshma, come and hear the following, from which we will answer the question. Here, Rashi is extremely helpful and says that the answer to the question of is Rebuta teaching us a case of Kezias or a case of Kezias u Kezias? From this, we will eventually see that Reb Yehuda said his din even when Kezias u Kezias was stated. And being that that's the case, and certainly if he said it without the vav kezias, namely in a case of kezias u kezias, Rabbi Yehuda says you've got two separate statements, and tfos loshen rishon, even though a vav is present, which would have led to one to think that it's not two separate statements. Nevertheless, we're saying it is two separate statements, and certainly in a case where the vav is not present, where you don't have the vav, which is a letter of connection, which is known as vav achibor, then you certainly will have two separate statements. So let's continue in the Gemara. Toshma, debo mine Levi me Rebbe. Levi asked of Rebbe, Chishev le'echol, Kezias le'mochor b'chutz, mahu. According to Rebbe Yehuda, what would be the din, according to Rebbe Yehuda, where a person says, I'm slaughtering the animal with the intention of eating a Kezias le'mochor b'chutz? Omar le'i. So Rebbe answers, Zu Sheila, this is a wonderful question. And he goes on to answer, Eruv Machshavos Havi. This is considered a mixing of thoughts, even according to Rebbe Yehuda. And that even though, technically speaking, he mentioned wrong time first, he said Lamochar before wrong place, nevertheless, it will not become pigol that's chayev kores. Omar lefonov, Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe. At this point, Rabbi Shimon interjects with a question of his. It's a long question, and we've indicated this to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with a encircled kuf and vertical dashed line. But once again, as we mentioned in our introduction, the
basic answer to the original question of the Gemara is contained within all of these lines that are labeled by the Toshma long marking. So Rebbe Shimon Barebi interjects, and he says, why did you praise Levi's question? Lo Mishnasenu he? Is the answer to his question not found by drawing an inference from our Mishnah? The fact that our Mishnah states the Machlokes, Rebbe Yehuda and Rabbanan, using as its example the expression kezayis bachutz or vice versa, that it's under those circumstances that Rebbe Yehuda says tfos loshen rishon, you should be able to infer that if he were not to use the double kezayis expression, but rather say kezayis lemocher bachutz, there Rebbe Yehuda would not argue. It should be noted that the quote of the Gemara here is a quote from our Mishnah. You're not going to see Shitas Rebbe Yehuda spelled out over here. It's sufficient just simply to be aware that in our Mishnah that features these examples, Rebbe Yehuda has his opinion stated. Hence, Rebbe Shimon Barebi is asking his question on why his father needed to complement Levi's question, when in fact the answer to that question can be easily derived from an inference drawn from our Mishnah. So continuing in the Gemara, Rebbe Shimon Barebi said, is it not our Mishnah? And what do we see in our Mishnah? Lechol kezayis bachutz, kezayis lemochar, or where he slaughters declaring kezayis lemochar, kezayis bachutz. Or he says, kezayis kechatzi zayis bachutz, kechatzi zayis lemochar. Or kechatzi zayis lemochar, kechatzi zayis bachutz. Posel v'ein boi kores. This is a quote from Shitas HaRabbanan. On this very section of the Mishnah, Rebbe Yehuda would disagree and tell you that in the case of kezayis lemochar, kezayis bachutz, in that case, Rebbe Yehuda would say it's not just posel v'ein bo kores. He would say pigel v'yesh bo kores. Why is that? Because he mentioned lemochar, he mentioned wrong time first. All of this, don't be misled. It's not written in the Gemara here, but it's understood by the fact that this is a quote from our Mishnah in which you saw Rebbe Yehuda's opinion. Now, the example that our Mishnah presents in order to lead up to the Machlokes Rebbe Yehuda and the Chum, and what is the example? So there were a lot of examples in the last few lines that are contained in the frame. But let's say for our purpose, to make things easier for us, just focus on the dashed underlined expression. Kezayis lemochar kezayis bachutz. We're dashed underlining it for no other reason than simply to be able to focus on one example. In this example, do you see that the kezayis expression appears twice? Kezayis lemochar and then kezayis bachutz. And on that, Rebbe Yehuda says, well, this would be pigel and yes, chayev and kores. So we can assume that that's the case that Rebbe Yehuda has his controversy with the Rabbanan. Continuing in the Gemara, ha'idach, but in any other case, for example, the case of kezayis lemochar bachutz, which Levi was asking about, that's obviously eruv machshavas havi. It's obviously that way. As we mentioned in our introduction to this section of the Gemara, in our little chart on the side where we had the hierarchy of separateness spelled out, we noticed that the most separate, most mefurat type expression is where you say kezayis lemochar kezayis bachutz. Okay, so it's then that Rebbe Yehuda says tfos loshen rishon. Because of the fact that you have two separate statements, you are expected, according to Rebbe, to choose the first one. However, something less specified or individualized, something that's more of a joined nature, there Rabbi Yehuda would concede that it's Eruv Machshav, it's considered a mixing of thoughts. And hence, if he would have said, Kezayis Lamocher Bachutz, it would not become Pigol. It would be Posel, but not Chayev Bekores. That's the end of Rabbi Shimon's question to his father. Omar Lei, Rabbi says back to his son, Hu Shoal Bi Devar Chochma. He asked me something that showed wisdom. Fiat Amris Mishnah Seinu, and you say that it's a simple Mishnah. Lididcha, unto you, he continues speaking, Rabbi says to his son, you, Da'as Nisach Tarti, Lo Kashiloch, I taught you two examples under which Rabbi Yehuda would hold his position and argue with the Chachamim. We can say it a little more simply. I exhausted all of the examples that Rabbi Yehuda argues with the Chachamim. Namely, he argues with them not only in the case of Kezayis, but even in the case where he uses the Vav, where he says Kezayis, Kezayis, Rabbi Yehuda still argues with the Chachamim. So for you, it would be very easy to infer that those are the cases where they have a controversy. However, in the case of Kezayis Lamochar Bachutz, there Rabbi Yehuda would concede. However, Ledidei, but unto him, to Levi, when I was teaching Levi, Deloas Nisei Elochada, I taught him only one example. At this point in the Gemara, we're not going to reveal which example he taught him. That the Gemara itself will clarify on the third wide line toward the end of the line where you see, after a semicolon, you see Vehei Es Asne, which is the example that Rebbe taught Levi. But for the time being, to him is a reference to Levi, where I didn't exhaust all of the examples where Rabbi Yehuda argues with the Chachamim. I taught him only one case. Let's read that again. L'didei de'lo asnise elochado, v'shaminu l'rabbonon de'kogarsi tarti. And Levi, in walking through the Beis Medrash and walking through the study hall, he heard the other students saying two examples. That they were saying that they in their own learning said that Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Chachamim under two cases. So Levi was taught one example. He heard the students saying two examples. Misafko Levi Omar. A doubt arose in his mind, and he said to himself, and there are two sides of this. Is the Gemara will express in effect the two sides, the two elements that created the doubt. L'didei delo, once again, let's didi dafka v'didhu eruv machshavas havi. Is it so that which I was taught, the one example that I was taught, is the only example of two separate expressions, and hence Rabbi Yehuda assumes his position of Tvos Loshen Rishon, and that which they are teaching over, or that which the other students are saying, is in fact not a case of Proto. It's not a case of two separate statements, and rather Eruv Machshavas Havi. In other words, they may amongst themselves be saying it over as a second example of separate expressions, but they're wrong. In other words, once again, that which I was taught is the only, I was taught one example, says Levi, or Levi figures. And it could be that which I was taught is the only example of separate expressions giving rise to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda of Tvos Loshen Rishon. And that which they are saying over as a second example is really inaccurate, because their second example is really a case of mixed thoughts into one statement, which we call Eruv Machshavas, Odilma. Or it could be Didhu Davka, that which they are teaching over, or that which they are saying over as two examples, are in fact accurate. They're accurate, that they are accurate. In other words, that
the two examples that they are citing are in fact examples of two separate, each example is an illustration of two separate statements. Ulididi, shiuri, shirely. And when teaching me, figures Levi, he didn't teach me as much, he left out. Shiuri, shirely, he left out. He left out. He didn't teach me everything. In other words, what he taught them accurate examples of separate statements, and he taught them more than he taught me. However, umedeshayer li lididi ha, and from the fact that Rebbe didn't teach me everything, he left out at least what the second example that they are saying, but just like he left out examples in teaching me, Shayer Luhu Liditu Nami Bahach. He actually didn't teach them everything either, and left out, and as an example of separate statements, the very case I'm asking about, the case of Kizayas Lamochar Bachutz. So this is the answer that Rebbe gave to his son as far as what was going on in the mind of Levi. At this point in the Gemara, the Gemara becomes curious to know what was the one example that Levi was taught. Vehei Asne, which example is it that Levi was taught that's considered prota, meaning an example of with the Kazayas and Kazayas story that constitutes two separate statements? E lemo Kazayas u Kazayas asne de la Rebbe Yehuda proti have. If that were the one example that he were taught, that Kazayas u Kazayas is an example of proti, then kol shekein kezayis, kezayis, then certainly where you leave out the vav, that would be considered proti, namely two separate statements. And Levi would have had no room to think that they are making a mistake, that when he heard them saying over what they were saying, that he would think that their second example was inaccurate. Rather, Ella, kezayis, Kezayas Asne. It must be that Levi was taught the example of Kezayas, Kezayas name without the Vav, that's considered Prota. The Tiboya Lay, and that's considered Prota. And then in Levi's mind, he's not sure of the case of even Kezayas U Kezayas. Is that also a case of Prota? Or maybe because there's a Vav, that would be Eruv Machshavos. So that's what was a doubt in Levi's mind when he heard the other students citing their two examples. In other words, Levi was taught the most obvious case of Prata, but all the other cases would still be unknown in Levi's mind. So what did Levi decide to do? He decided to ask, what about the case of Kezayas Lamochor Bachutz? But let's take pause for a moment and think. If Levi was taught the most obvious case of Prota, Kezayas, Kezayas, could he not have asked also about the case of Kezayas, U Kezayas? What is the status of that? Is that considered two separate statements or Eruv Machshavos? Why is it that Levi, in querying about this, did he choose the case of Kezayas, Lamochor Bachutz? The Gemara asks, V'tiboya lei Kezayas u Kezayas? Could Levi not have asked from Rebbe, what is the din of Kezayas u Kezayas using the Vav? Is that also considered Prota? And could he not have asked that instead of asking about Kezayas Lamochor Bachutz? The Gemara answers, what motivated Levi to ask specifically about the case of Kezayas Lamochor Bachutz? Sovar, Levi figured, Iboy mine chado deshamano tarti. I'm going to ask him one question, namely, Kezayas
Bochor Bachutz, from which I will be able to figure out the case of Kezias U Kezias as well. De'i bo'ino Kezias U Kezias, if I were to have asked him about the case of Kezias U Kezias with the Vav, ha niha, then things would be good. I can get all of my answers. E Omar Li Klola. If he were to say that Kezias U Kezias represents a Klola, meaning a joining together of statements, namely a singular statement as opposed to two separate statements, then Kol Shekein Kezias L'Mochar Bachutz, then certainly the issue that I was asking about would become clarified. Because if using two separate words of separation, namely using the word Kezias twice, which might have separated them into two separate statements, the Kezias of L'Mochar and the Kezias as Bechutz, and nevertheless that's considered a klal as opposed to prat, it's considered a singular general, a singular statement, then certainly where I don't use an extra Kezias word, that's all the more so a singular statement. Elo I amris li prata, if however I had raised the Kezias U Kezias as a question, and he would have answered that that is an example of separateness, of separate expressions. Very nice. That's because there's a use of the word Kezias twice. Akati Kezias L'mochar Bachutz Kol Mibayali. I still would have had a doubt concerning my question of Kezias L'mochar Bachutz. In other words, by asking Kezias U Kezias, I would not necessarily have gained clarity concerning my question of Kezias L'mochar Bachutz. Therefore, I asked him about Kezias L'mochar Bachutz, and the answer that he would give me to that would enable me to see very clearly the way to treat Kezias U Kezias as well. The Gemara asks, hey, that's not so simple. E hachi. If so, hashto nami, now too, that he is asking about Kezias L'mochar Bachutz with an expectation of gaining clarity with regard to Kezias U Kezias, well, ha tenach, that will work out, that will be fine, e omar lei, if Rebbe would answer him, Kezias L'mochar Bachutz equals prata. If Rebbe would say that Kezias L'mochar Bachutz, even though it seems to be a singular statement, but nevertheless it's still considered separate ideas, then Kol Shekein Kezias U Kezias, then we can say certainly a case where he uses the term Kezias twice, that's certainly a separation of ideas. And of course, there Rebbe Yehuda would say Tfos Lashon Rishon. Elo Hi Amalei Klola, but if Rebbe would answer Levi regarding the case of Kezias L'mochar Bachutz, that is a singular statement, one can say, fine, that's a singular statement, but Akati Kezias U Kezias Miboyale, he still would not have clarity regarding that. What's the story of Kezias U Kezias where the word Kezias is used twice with a Vav, a connecting Vav? So what did Levi really gain by asking about the case of Kezias L'mochar Bachutz? It wasn't a sure bet that by asking about one case, he would get the answer to two cases. The answer is that, in fact, by asking about that one case, he would get an answer to two. Im kein mirsach rosach. Let's see Rashi. Three lines from the bottom. Im kein mirsach korosach, klomar, hochi sovar Levi. Thusly, Levi calculated. Iboya mine hach, the ishma mine tarti. I'm going to ask of him, of Rebbe, this one, and from which I'll get an answer to two. De I omar li bo proto, if he would answer me concerning Kezias L'mochar Bachutz, that's considered two separate statements. Kol shekein Kezias U Kezias detrei achilos ninho veiko liflugimhu betrei diburi, then certainly the case where you use the term Kezias twice, that's considered two separate statements. Ve'i omali klola benichusa belo resicha. And if he would answer me as he in fact did, and we should emphasize this word benichusa was seen earlier as well in Rashi. We saw this on the first wide line where Rebbe in fact answered him that what you're asking about is a very good question about the issue of Kezias Lemocher Bechutz. So Levi continues in his calculation that if he answers me benichusa in a pleasant tone, below, without any rage or frustration in his response, then ishma mine, I will be able to conclude dehach hu dehave klola, that this is the only example of a klal, of a singular statement, namely the case of kezayis lemocher b'chutz. Avol kezayis ukezayis prata, that would be considered a separate statement, two separate statements. Uchide asninhu l'rabbonan, and as in fact he taught the other students that were featured in the story above, where we said they were taught two examples of prata, namely the case of kezayis kezayis and the case of kezayis ukezayis. De'im svirole bekezayis ukezayis nami klola. Because he held that Kezias Ukezias was in fact one statement, we might point out, and therefore, and that which Rebbe taught Levi, namely Kezias Kezias, as an example of Prota, that would have been the only example of Prota. And as we saw in the questions above, and that Kezias Ukezias is the only example, so he was taught that which was Meduyok to the exclusion of the case of Kezias Ukezias. So if it were so that Rebbe held that Kezias Ukezias was a klal, meaning a singular statement, then Mirsach Rosach V'mahadeli Berischa, he, Rebbe, would have answered my question with a tone of frustration. Named my question was concerning Kezias Lemocher Bechutz. Now, if Rebbe holds that Kezias Ukezias is also a singular statement, he would have answered me with a tone of resicha, of anger. Rashi continues at the top of Lamed Aleph and says, Rebbe would have said, "My tiboy aloch, what are you asking this for? What are you asking about Kezias Lemocher Bechutz? Hashto Kezias U Kezias have aloch lemeidak davi klola. You should have noted that Kezias U Kezias is a singular statement. Midolo asnisa, from the fact that I taught you only elo Kezias Kezias leprota. Didn't I teach you that's prota? Ha Kezias U Kezias klola. Then you should have understood that the case of Kezias U Kezias is klola. Kezias Lemocher Bechutz Mibayaloch? Do you have to ask about that? That's the most obvious form of klola, of singular statement." Rashi goes on to point out, Ubayon Ifshit. Our original question to this whole sugya where the Toshma began is answered. De Bo'inon Li'el Kezias Kezias Tanan Oi Kezias Ukezias Tanan. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, when he was arguing with the Chachamim regarding Tfos Loshon Rishon, was he talking about the case of Kezias Kezias, or was he talking about the case of Kezias Ukezias as well? Shema Mino, from this whole piece of Gemara, we can conclude the Kezias Ukezias Tanan, that Rabbi Yehuda's argument with the Rabbonin covers both cases of Kezias Kezias and Kezias Ukezias, that those are cases of Prota, leaving only the case of Kezias Bechutz Lemocher as being klola, as being a singular statement. Let us read this now in the Gemara at the bottom. This is now the answer that we read in Rashi. The Gemara starts at the Gemara at the very bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. Im kein mirsach rosach. If it were so that Kezias Lemocher Bechutz were an example of if it were so that Kezias, Ukezias, was an example of Klola, then Rebbe, in answering my question of Kezias Lemochar Bachutz, he would have answered with a tone of frustration as follows: Hashto Kezias Ukezias Klola. Now that Kezias is a klal, because after all, as Rashi said, I taught you only the case of Kezias as being proto, but Kezias you should have figured is an example of a klal, of a singular statement. Kezias lemocher b'chutz mibaya. Do you have to ask about that? That's even more obvious. But since Rebbe did not answer him like that, he answered him benichusa. We can conclude that it's only the case of Kezias Lemocher Bachutz, which is Klola, which is a singular statement, but the case of Kezias Ukezias is an example of Prota. And that answers our original question. And if you look back at the markings, when we had a long question marking with the She'elah in the middle of Lamed Omid Beis, we had Aleph Oidilma Beis. So the final answer is like the Beis, that Kezias Ukezias Tanan, and that a Rebbe Yehuda would view that as two separate statements, and Kol Shekein the case of Kezias. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.